Mr. Don Reynolds, Reel 3. We're talking about your time at HMS Ganges from, well, it's from June 43 to July 43. It seems to be about 5 weeks. In your
yes, about 6.
We'd sort of look at the training through the means of a typical day. Now, I know you don't remember things like this in detail, so we'll just perhaps sketch it in. How would the day start, a typical day, if there's any such thing?
I think leading seaman or whatever of the mess gave the show a leg and all the rest of it, you were very quickly inundated by the Navy terms and all the rest of it. They really put you through it and got you going in true Navy fashion, and you were given a few minutes, I think, to get yourself washed and dressed. And then it would be off to the cafeteria-type meals.
Now, what did you think, generally, looking at all three meals, of the food? I mean, it was your first real experience of mass catering, you know, for the Army. What did you think of the food there?
I think it was fairly good. I don't remember us ever threatening mutiny or anything over any bad times there. Yes, it was quite useful, quite interesting.
Was there enough of it?
Yes, I think so. I think so. I think there was a canteen there if you really needed to top up, but I can't remember that I made any real effort to do that.
And the quality wasn't bad, you know, compared to your mum's cooking or whatever. You were all right with it?
Oh, yes, yes.
So what would you do in the morning after breakfast? What sort of sessions would you have?
It became rather school-like. You went to the different classroom blocks and you were taught all the different things that you were going to need in the service. And very difficult now to recall what they were, but we went through all the standard items of knots and so on.
Seamanship.
Yes, the use of boats and the rest of it. They gave us all the instructions as to how the boats were rowed and everything else, and so on, gave you a proper course on this before you were taken down to the actual boats and went out on the river. And apart from that, you were given basic lessons on naval navigation and everything else that you might require, everything to sail making, I think, and use of flags and semaphore and all things.
So general seamanship.
Oh yes.
Well, did you have the actual seamanship manual?
Yes, I think I still have it somewhere.
So just working through that in the classroom, a lot of it.
Yes.
Now, what are the sides of training? Was there much drill, naval drill?
Not an extreme amount, but quite sufficient. And
how were you at drill? You'd had a fair amount of drill with the air training corps.
Yes, so the drill didn't worry me. The drill didn't worry me, although I was never entirely happy with it.
Why not?
Something that stays with me to this day. I tend to not march straight. I tend, if I don't watch it, to veer off a little bit. And therefore, I was always careful, if I could, to not be a marker man. You know, not to be in the leading file. It was far better to be in the middle. Yes, but the...
Did you enjoy drill? Did you see the point of it, you know?
Well, yes, when one's in the service, any service, you realise that drill does become an exhibition item as well. It's essential. And when you're in a service, you have to take things not because you want to, but because you're there at the time and you have to be able to do it. And therefore, I took to it reasonably well, I think. And knowing left from right and the rest of it, if you get an order and you stick to it, you can take part in drill without too much difficulty.
And what other types of training were you doing? Anything else in particular? Or was that it, seamanship and drill?
I think it was principally seamanship. And of course, you get... We had to prove ourselves proficient at swimming and this type of thing.
I could ask about that, because you're supposed to be able to swim in the Navy. Could you swim?
I could swim, yes. I had... been a regular, I'd been in the Hucknall Swimming Club, and whilst I wasn't a long distance swimmer, I could certainly do the 25 or 50 yards or whatever it was that was required. And I think we had to do it in trousers and everything, full, I won't say full kit, but a certain amount of kit, so that I got through that satisfactorily. And I'm not sure if it was at Ganges, possibly it wasn't. We actually did fire drill when we had to...
Well, tell us about it. What was fire drill?
Well, occasionally these days you'll see on the television the firemen going into a burning shell and so on. Well, when you're on a ship and it's on fire... You have to rely on being able to know where you want to go and be able to do your utmost to get there. It's no good being losing your way. So I don't know whether it was at Ganges that we did the fire drill or whether that came later.
That's all right, we'll deal with it now. What did you do?
You were sort of rigged out in the fire gear. Head mask and so on, and possibly steel helmet as well, and you were put into this room that was absolutely full of smoke, and you knew from what you'd been told where the table was and where the rest of it, and you were sort of, the thing was, even if you were in a mask, to keep yourself as low as possible, because that's where the heat isn't and the smoke isn't. If there's any chance of fresh air and cool air, it's down at the bottom. And you would feel your way round the skirting board or whatever until you came to the door at the end. And then whatever the exercise was, if it was to open doors, naval doors, which had got bars across and so on, or whether it was to, in part of the exercise, to find a sort of round... Now, what's the name of the thing I'm looking for? On the hydrant, top of the hydrant, and to spin that to get the water on, and this type of thing, all that was taught, I'm sure, because they were very keen that when anybody was even possibly going to go on a Navy boat, they were ready for anything.
Now, did they send you over the masthead? Because there used to be a famous masthead.
The mast at Ganges is one of the most famous in the world, I think, and it was something that some people absolutely aspired to. They liked to be the button boy, the chappie who could stand on the button at the top of the mast at Ganges. Had got a reputation for life pretty well, and I never managed, I wasn't a person with a fantastic head for heights, And I never made the effort to get more than perhaps the first or second stage.
Even that's high up, though.
It is fairly high, going up the rigging and so on, and then getting and going round the bend.
Well, I was going to ask, did you go round the outside, or did you go through the lubber's hole?
Well, that's it. I think I did go round the outside on one occasion. But then, when I went there, you see, I was going to be there for 10 weeks. And when they decided that that I was sufficiently educated to be drafted off to take up electrics and electronics and radar or whatever came, I got cut short, and therefore I didn't have the opportunity to go the whole hog or anything of that sort. Whether I would have been up to it, I really don't know.
So you didn't like it, what you saw of it?
No, I didn't. I admired the people that did you do it.
Now, so that's some of the training. Did you have any tests to see what you might be good for? I mean, and this Y service thing, this, you know, was there anything done about that? We'll come on to, you know, were they actually assessing you, in other words?
I think there must have been a test at Ganges before they sent me off to Manchester.
But
I can't recall it, or the depth of it or anything. And
what about this business of you being a possible officer, though? Did that just disappear? Or
yes, well, this is one of the things. We get sidetracked a little bit, don't we, at times? When I'm coming back a little bit to being in the Army Cadet Force, one of the things I remember, and I was going to refer to earlier, was that in the Cadet Force we had a regional meet of all the Cadet Forces at the... the park in Mansfield.
Elton Park. Oh, Mansfield. Oh, I don't know Mansfield.
Mansfield. It'll
doesn't
come
matter
in a,
his name.
No,
carry
it'll
on.
Come in a moment. In the big the whole park. I'll remember it in a minute. And when I was there, I'd got on my uniform, on the top of my shoulder, I'd got a blue stick-on type thing with a wreath and crossed navy flags or something of this sort. And this was remarked upon by a couple of the officers, and I got hauled before the assembled wardroom or whatever they are, the officers' mess, to explain myself as being in as the Y scheme. And I always remember that as being the first time I was in front of the Inquisition. But they were quite happy about it and so on. There's no problem with it, but they were surprised and didn't know of it, I think.
Were they not surprised you were still in the Army Cadet?
Yes, yes. So that...
So what happened when you got there with this Y scheme? I mean... You were meant to be.
Yes.
What happened about it?
There we are. It didn't amount to very much, and they were more in need of radar people than they were of officer types at that moment. So they sent me off there.
Okay, well, I'll come back to that then. Now, what about... That's pretty well all the training you can remember there. How did you get on with the other lads? You know, were they from the same sort of background as yourself? Was it very mixed? What were they like?
They were very mixed indeed, very mixed indeed. I don't think I had any problem with that. It was expected, and I'd mixed with various in the different corps, varying from the school, the local Hucknall school, and all the rest of it. I had a fairly mixed circle of friends. And obviously, anybody that's placed in amongst a group tends to gravitate towards a type, and I had one or two quite good friends there, and it was a pity really that one had to part from them so quickly, and never saw any of them again. I've still got you know, the names of one or two that I really wonder where they got to. But
so there was no bullying and no trouble as far as
I didn't find any. No, didn't find any.
So you got on well. Now, what about the instructors? How did you get on with them, and what was your opinion of them?
The instructors were petty officers or chief petty officers. Basically, I found them very good. Very good. They were Navy through and through. Didn't have any problems with any of them, and I think they did a good job. Just something else that comes to me about Ganji is, of course, in those very very early days, we got sent down for a blood test and all the rest of it. We gave our first pint of blood. Then we were sort of given a card to say what blood type we were and all the rest of it, something that you carried for the rest of your service career. And
was the donation voluntary, or was it?
Oh, I think it was fairly voluntary. You perhaps could have opted out, but we didn't. And you were also given your inoculation as well. That was quite something.
Why?
Well, some people, of course, make a lot of it, and others don't. The feeling was that one way to get over the inoculation, rather than be knocked out by it and have 24 hours of agonies or whatever, was to go on the assault course. And I think that's what I did. I can remember going on that course, and I think that was when I did it. And yes, it.
Tell me about the assault course then. Did it work? What was the assault course like?
I think it worked. I think it was a sort of a typical one: jump over the fences and under the bars, and climb the rope and up the wall if you could do it, and this sort of thing. But as we weren't there being lashed by the petty officers or anything, we were doing it for our own benefit. We took it fairly easy, I think. But it did make the blood circulate, and therefore it probably had the desired effect. Yes, I think that was probably the only assault course type thing that I ever did. So that it
Now, did you have to do, I mean, was there much bull there? You know, in the polishing your boots, preparing for kit inspection, that sort of thing?
There was. Yes, I think they were very strict on us keeping our kit. You're not quite as worried about buttons and things in the Navy as in the Army. But boots and so on, we used to keep very well done, and I can remember laying out the kit on the bed a couple of times, but that was about all. Whether we did do it on a weekly basis, I don't know.
But it was not too untoward then.
Not too bad, and I don't know how many. I suppose, with it being a 10-week course, there were probably 10 units, 10 people working their way slowly through the barracks, so that you gradually got into these things. But every week you did have a proper parade. where you did the full training procession, and you were licked into shape there. I don't think we had a full Marine band, but we certainly marched to the music, you know, Navy tunes and the rest of it, as we went round the parade ground. And I think that was probably the send-off point for the team that was going out and the reception for the ones that were coming in. But they used to be very, very spick and span, and everything was really service fashion.
I forgot to ask about PT, physical training. Was there much of that?
I think we did a fair amount of PT.
What type of things were you doing?
Usual exercises and so on. And, of course, the gymnasium at these places was always wall bars and ropes and the rest of it. And there was a certain amount of that, which I was very pleased with. I'd had ropes and bars and things at school. And also a little, I think, even with the boys, with the army, because we were in the boys' brigade room and so on, and they had bars and things, because you did used to work a semi-service type regime with training and the rest of it.
I mean, were you doing cross-country runs and that sort of thing?
I remember at least two, I think, cross-country runs. The first one was fairly early on, probably the second or third day in, to see who fell out and so on. I did manage to complete them, but they were pretty hard work, running around a bit of the countryside outside the barracks.
Now, what about recreations? Was there any sort of recreation time or sport time?
I can't remember a lot of it, but they would be outside service hours, and I can't remember very much about it at all.
Did you go out of the camp at all, or were you allowed out?
I don't think we were. I don't think we were. Although, let's think. No, I don't think we were. No.
Fair enough. Now, you weren't there that long, because you, in mid July you're pulled out.
Yes,
you seem to go to Chatham, Pembroke, for a week. Oh, that may have just been a formal thing on the papers, and then you go to HMS Shrapnel, which is Manchester College. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. So, tell me what happened.
Well, they decided they wanted these. They were beginning to put the first radar sets on the boats, and they needed people who were able to deal with the technical side of them, and radar, of course, the sets, even if they were early day items, were going to be very, very important. And therefore, anybody that had had any experience, either at school or anywhere else, had to have knowledge. If you were on a boat and you were one of the, probably the only person that had got any experience of electric circuits and the rest of it, you'd have to have a fairly good grounding. So that we went to the Manchester Tech, and the Navy unit there was sort of one class, and we used to go to different tutors in the college for different things. Some of them taught us naval things, and some of us taught us electrics and welding, circuit testing and all sorts of things.
It sounds like you were training as a radar mechanic rather than a radar operator.
Yes, it was rather more the mechanical side. I think the other came later.
Oh, so you never got that far.
I never got that
you don't
far.
Finish this course, so you probably would have gone on to the Isle of Man to the
probably
to the
yes
Mages Valkyrie in the proper course.
Yes.
Now, what sort of thing were you learning? Do you remember much about it? I know you didn't like this course, so I mean you might not remember much about it.
Yes, I don't think perhaps it was that I didn't like it, but I after a very few days, I began to realise that it wasn't what I was there for. I wasn't, my mind wasn't set on being an electrician. Even if these days I would have found it very useful with TV and video and the rest of it, which were I'm absolutely hopeless with. But I realised in those days that I wasn't cut out for it. And therefore, when the course examination came at about 5 weeks or whatever, I probably did as well as I could, because I'm not the sort to shirk things particularly, but I didn't feel that my heart was in it, and therefore I wasn't sorry that I failed the course and went back into sort of general service.
You don't remember much about the actual training you had, though, I think it's fair to say. So
no, not really. No, I can't be too specific. I can remember using, being taught to use soldering irons and all the rest of it, so that I could redo a joint that had come loose and all this type of thing. And I remember tinning the edges of a box to make a box and this type of thing. A general course in I don't know electronics, but it didn't appeal to me.